yourself. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen, we'll have the victory. Hallelujah, it is the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Just like to have a reading tonight is from Matthew's Gospel, it's chapter 14. It's a well-known story, and you know, I can't say anything to tell you you don't already know, but it's good to refresh our memories. It's good to go over the stories in the Bible again and again, and you know, it's so true. What Tommy says, it doesn't matter how often you read the scriptures, you'll always find something new. And I trust that the Lord will just bless us tonight. And we'll maybe just have a word of prayer again before we go any further and ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you for this, indeed, an opportunity to draw aside. And we thank you, Lord, we're able to come to this room and seek your face and read your word, Lord, and hear from. We want to hear from you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy toward us. We thank you for every good and perfect gift, Lord. And Lord, we believe you're one of our number. You said where two or three are gathered together, you'd be there in the midst. And we pray, Lord, you'll make yourself known among us again tonight. Lord, that we'll be able to say we've met afresh with you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, in your presence. There's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, Lord, there's pleasures forevermore. Yes. Lord, bless us now as we read your word and try to speak from it. I ask for your help tonight, Lord. I ask, Lord, you'll help me to say the things you want me to say. And Lord, I pray you'll bring the right thoughts to my memory. And Lord, that you'll help me to express your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Peter walks on the water. You know, that's a miracle.
Amen.
That's a supernatural event. You need to have faith in God to walk on water. You can't walk on water because there's no firmness in the water to hold you up. The water would need to freeze. It would need to be a frost. And it would need to be frozen solid to carry the weight of a person walking on it. Now, tonight I want to try to look at a bit of the background here, and also this miracle is recorded in Matthew, it's recorded in Mark, and it's also recorded in John's Gospel. But I think that Matthew has given us the best description. And that's only my opinion, but he really mentions the fact that Peter walks on the water. Now, as an introduction, what has been going on here, they've come from a meeting where Jesus was speaking, and there's 5,000 people there, and the disciples say, send them away, and the Lord says, don't send them away, give them something to eat. And they said, sure, we've got nothing, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what's that among so many? And Jesus said, you tell the people to sit down in groups of 50 and we'll feed them, we'll give them fish and bread. And you know, the amazing thing about that is, there was 5 loaves when they started, but when they fed 5,000, there was more after they had eaten than what there was when they began. Hallelujah! You see, when you're working with God, when you're working with the Lord, we're out of the natural, this is supernatural.
Amen.
You see, when God comes on the scene, when the Lord comes on the scene, you're working with a different, you're not working with your senses, your natural thinking, or your natural senses. You're working with the one that said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And the Bible says the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You're working with Almighty God. So here, these men have come from a meeting, and when Jesus was on the earth, revival was among his brides. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees never knew who he was, but them who knew who the Lord was walking in revival. Hallelujah. They were walking in the power of God, and the power of God was being manifested among them. You know, this machine that I have with me here tonight, she switch herself off. If you look at it, it switches itself off. If you don't look at it, still switches itself off all the time. You have to keep touching it to keep it alive. It's a bit like the Christian. It's a bit like some people. We need a touch from God to keep us living.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, these men, the Bible tells us, I'm going to have to read the scripture, and it's Matthew's Gospel, and I believe it's chapter 14, and I believe I need to start at verse 22 of Matthew's Gospel 14 and verse 22, and it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Now that's the multitude, that's the men that got the loaves and the fishes. There was 5,000 of them. And we're told then that Jesus sends them away, but he constrains his disciples to get into the ship and go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And you know, when Jesus sent the multitude away, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, he sent the multitude away, and then he goes into the mountain apart, means by himself, to pray. And Jesus went into that mountain to pray, and he had already sent his disciples, he's sending his disciples away. He sent the multitude away, and he's sending his disciples away. And Jesus is alone. He wants to be alone. You know, the best way to touch God is to be alone. Alone, get alone with God. Get away somewhere by yourself. Close the door, Jesus said. When you enter into the closet, close the door.
Amen.
Close yourself away. Go away. Go into the field. Go into the mountain. Go somewhere alone. Get before God. Well, Jesus went up the mountain and he had a prayer meeting, and he came down then. We're verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And listen to this about the ship, because I visualize this ship on the water, and I always visualized in my life Peter walking on the water, and I visualized the water like that floor. Level. That's the way I don't know why, but I always visualized the water. Oh, lovely calm sea, a lovely day. But it wasn't the day. It was the breaking of the day. It was the fourth watch of the night. Now that's Roman calendar. They introduced that even to the Israel, the fourth watch of the night. And the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. in the morning and 6 a.m. And it's a possibility that Jesus came walking on the water, probably, I don't know for sure, but probably maybe 4 a.m. in the morning, or 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the morning. And he had been praying all night. Now listen, I said that I always visualized this scene where the sea was just like that floor, or just like the lovely smooth place. It wasn't. These disciples got into this ship and they made no headway, very little headway, because the wind and the waves was contrary. Now I want you to notice that. And it says in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The ship was tossed. These men is struggling. These men is under pressure. These men is making no headway. And the ship, the Bible, the verses tell us here, the ship's tossed with the wind. And she's in the midst of the sea. And it says that it's not a plain sail. There's no plain sailing in this. This is rough crossing. This is a rough crossing. You know, if you were going to be sick, you'd been sick on this boat. If you were a bad sailor, you wouldn't need to have been on this boat, I'll tell you, because she was ready to turn upside down. She was ready to go to the bottom, maybe. She was. Now, I'll tell you what. John in his gospel, in John's gospel chapter 6 and verses 16 to 21. Now, you can turn to it just as a matter, and don't lose the place in Matthew, but turn with me to John. Now, this is an awful long introduction maybe, and I'm trying to give or say. John tells you the distance that you had traveled. And he said that she had traveled roughly between 25 and 34 logs. Now, I'm going to test you what age you are. I know there's a man in here that has a birthday today. That's a big one too. But, you see, the younger generation doesn't know anything about a four log. Many people in here knows about a four log. No, I know this. Probably knows. Well, there's 8 furlongs in a mile. There's 8 furlongs in a mile. And John's Gospel, chapter 6. Please bear with me. Will you hear what John says here? I have two pages stuck together. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 16. And when eve was now come, his disciples went down in unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark. So it's dark, and it's windy, and the sea is boisterous. And verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew.
The sea arose. There was a, you know what they call that? You call that a swell. I saw a fishing boat on the TV one night, and the man said she was in a swell. And that boat was going like that. You'd have thought she was a rocking horse. The front up, down, up, down, and the waves was up, the waves was down. It was rough, and you see what we have here. We have a great wind that blew. Wind able to blow you off your feet. Now there's power in the wind, and there's power in the sea. I'll tell you, the devil, if he could have, he would have sunk that ship. He would have broke that ship. He would have put her on the rocks. But these men worked. They rowed the ship. There was no diesel engines then. There was no electric. There was no solar panels for power. There was manpower, Armstrong. She was powered by man, and you know, if she had sails, they couldn't use the sails because of the strong wind. The wind would probably took them the wrong way. So the rowing, and it says, listen to verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. So when they had rowed about 5 and 24 lungs, now there's the distance, and they had rowed 5 and 24 lungs, and it says also, or 30, about 5 and 20, or 34 logs. So that's, if you said 34 logs, and you divide that by 8, 8 threes is 24, and say a half. They had rode 3.5 miles. They rode from here to the other side of Bond Bridge. And they reckon that sea they were trying to cross was a 5 mile journey. So they were practically 3/4 way across. But they weren't getting it easy. These men were struggling. So you can imagine a ship out there and them men rowing, and all this time, and this is the distance. So we have the distance that they travelled, and then we have the time, if you turn back to Matthew's Gospel, and in verse 24 it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. You know, I don't know what ever put it in my head that this was plain sailing, because it wasn't plain sailing. And if you're going to walk on the water, pick a calm day, don't pick a wild stormy night. Hallelujah. But listen, if the Lord's there, not matter about the storm, it'll not matter about the wind. And not matter about the elements that's against you. Hallelujah. If the Lord's there, and when he comes on the scene. Now, we're told here, the disciples were told the distance. We can get the distance, and we can get the time, and we can get a weather report. And we know there was a swell on, which is rough sea. And we know there was a great wind blowing. And we know that traveled about 3.5 miles, and there was still a mile or more, a mile and a half, or maybe 2 miles still to go. And they're working, these men's laboring, because they're rowing, and the wind's against them. You see, when the wind's on your back, it's easy. But anybody, it's like the sermon that was preached about, what was it, Brother Guy, the salmon. It's easy to go with the flow. But when you're going against the flow, it's a different story. And these men was going against the flow. I don't believe they were going with the flow, but they were trying to go against it. Or they were trying to go the opposite. And the wind was contrary, and the sea was contrary, and the waves was boisterous, and it was just a tough time. But Jesus comes walking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he comes walking on the water. Now let me say this, in case I forget this, mention this fact. You know, we're living in a modern time. Whenever people will read the Bible, and they'll read the Bible, and they'll read the accounts in the Bible, and they want to say to you, well, it doesn't really mean what it says. And you know the latest one that I've come across, and not often come across it, but it's a false one. The, one of the latest ones is that this wasn't the same Jesus. This was a different Jesus. This was Jesus in a theophany. This wasn't Jesus in a natural body. This was Jesus all right, but it was, he was in a different body, for he couldn't walk with the ordinary body. He had to get a different body. Rubbish! This was the same Jesus that walked up the mountain and had a prayer meeting. This was the same Jesus that took the loaves and the fishes. This was the same God. Hallelujah! This was a natural, this was the Son of God, but it was also the Son of Man. And he came walking on the water.
Amen.
Jesus came walking on the water. You see, the elements couldn't affect him. He came walking on the water, and it's the fourth watch of the night. And you know, whenever the disciples saw him, the thinking think they've seen a ghost. See, they're thinking, they think they've seen a spirit. And they're really, we have then the disciples' fear. The fear. His disciples, when they saw him, and went, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, he said, you know, having a bad day or having a bad night's a bad enough, but then if you think you see a ghost, that's not going to help you. It's not going to lift you any if you think you've seen a ghost or you've seen a spirit. And the Bible says these men cried out for fear. They cried out for fear. But listen, I am so glad that Jesus soon identified himself.
Amen.
Jesus soon identified himself. And we're told that the disciples saw him walking on the sea. The disciples saw him walking on the sea. Now, Jesus walked on the sea. He wasn't knee-deep in water. The water wasn't up to his ankles. Now, it may have been blowing around his legs, but he was walking on the sea. And can you imagine him coming on a wave? There's a wave coming, and the Lord's coming, and he just walks up over the top of it and down. Imagine, you see, we've got this thing, I've had this thing in my mind, oh, that's a nice wee, it's like this platform, it's nice and level, and there's no bumps, and there's no waves. No, Jesus is walking, and he's going up and down. He's walking on the waves, hallelujah, and the waves is going up and down, but he just keeps on walking. And you know, one of the Gospels, I'm not sure if it's John's Gospel, but I'm not going to take the time to turn back till it said he would have walked on by. Jesus would have walked on by when he heard them crying. And he knew they were struggling. And he was watching them rowing and trying to row that ship and making no headway. But then you see, they saw him and the life was frightened out of them. And you know, one of the Gospels also, I'm not sure if it's John's Gospel, we could soon find out if I want to take the time to turn back, but it said that they soon forgot about the loaves and the fishes, for their hearts was hardened. And they looked at the Lord and said, is that really him? Could that be him? It couldn't be him. He couldn't have walked over here. Well, he was walking on the water. And then you see, I need to get to what I'm meant to be saying. Straightway Jesus spake in verse 27 unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer, boy, them's great words, aren't they? Be of good cheer, brother.
Amen.
Be of good cheer, sister. The Lord's here. Imagine that now. Be of good cheer, brother. You've been on the waves. You've been tossed. The wind has been contrary. You're not making much headway, but be of good cheer. The Lord's just come on the scene. And Jesus just came on the scene that night. That morning early, he just came walking down the road, he had a road on the sea, he walked on the sea, and he came walking over the top of the waves, over the big waves, over the small waves. He just kept walking on, and he came down, and then they cried out for fear, and he says, "Be of good cheer, it's me, it's I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You see, fear affects your faith. The wrong kind of fear will affect your faith. It'll destroy your faith. The wrong kind of fear. And the Lord encourages them not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. You see this man, Peter. I'm glad he was there. I'm glad he was there. Well, I mean, glad he was there. I'm glad he was there because he put down a fleece to the Lord. He put down a fleece straight away. And we read in verse 28. "But Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water."
Amen.
Well, that's a bold statement, wasn't it? Now, I said that Jesus identified himself. I've written it down here. Jesus will identify himself firstly by his word and then by his works. Now Jesus spoke to them. But I was thinking about this, and you know, with the wind blowing and the sea boisterous, maybe Peter just didn't hear him right, or didn't maybe sound the way that Jesus normally would sound. I don't know, but the Lord had already spoke to Peter. He'd already spoke to him. He'd already spoke to all of the disciples and said, "Be of good cheer, it's me. Say, don't be afraid." And then this man, Peter, you know, he's a bit like myself, because I wouldn't like to put myself on the same level as what Peter was. But sometimes he's talking and he should be listening. He's maybe speaking out of turn sometimes. But there's one thing about him, you'll always know what he's thinking. He not think something and not say it. He says what he thinks. And he shoots from the hip. He says, "Lord, if it is really you, Lord, if it is you, you bid me come and meet you." Yeah, so I'll tell you. But listen, and I think about it, Peter put down a fleece. You know, sometimes I put down a fleece, and I never put down a fleece once in my life that the Lord didn't answer me. That's a fact. And not anything to do with me, that's God. That's the Lord. You put down a fleece, you put down a genuine fleece in front of the Lord, he'll answer you. He'll not disappoint you. You'll get your answer, and you'll get it right and quick. And you know, Peter threw down the gauntlet. "Lord, if it is you." Now, the Lord could have said, "Here we go again. That man has no faith. Here we go again. I'm only after telling them that it's me. And now he's starting to question my word." But the Lord didn't do that. Now, the other thing about this is, listen. Did Peter really need to walk on the water? Did he need to walk on that water? Would he have suffered if he hadn't got walk on that water? Was he going to suffer loss? No, I don't believe he was. But you know what I think? And you know what I like about this? Peter, if he rephrased it, or if I rephrased it for him, I'm not saying he needed to rephrase it. No, he was straight to the point. There's no hedging or hemming or hawing. "Lord, if it's you bid me come and meet me." Right away the Lord said, "Come. Go ahead. Come." The Lord didn't say, "Oh, hold on a minute, sure, I'll bend the boat. Don't bother your head, I'll bend the boat. If you give me 2 minutes, I'll bend the boat beside you." No, no, no. The Lord said, "Come." Why? It was an act of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Amen.
And let me say this, and you can turn in your Bible to this, or maybe Brother Matthew, you can put it up first. Job chapter 9 and verse 8. Do you know what that says? It's talking about the Lord. The whole says, I've got the wrong verse. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. That's the Lord we serve.
Amen.
That's the God that came walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. Job knew him. You know that chapter 9 of Job is a great chapter. It tells you a lot of stuff that God done. And Job knew him. Hallelujah. And he says he's the one which spreadeth out the heavens. Oh, the Bible says the heavens is as a drop in a bucket to him. The heavens and of heavens cannot contain God, but he can dwell in your heart and in my heart, and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. But he came walking down and he wanted to identify himself without fail to these men in that ship, and he wanted to identify himself without fail to Peter, and he says, Peter, get out of that ship and come walk beside me. And Peter says, Lord, if you want to walk on the sea, I want to walk with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that's a miracle. That's a supernatural God. That's the Holy Spirit of the living God taking a flesh and bone man and making him do something that is impossible. You can't learn that in a college. You can't get a book and study how to do that. All you can do is have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. And you know, the Lord wanted faith. And when Peter said, Lord, if it's you bid me come and meet you on the water, and I'll go out of this ship and I'll get on that water and I'll start walking towards you. You know, Jesus never stopped. He just kept on walking, but he just answered. Peter got the answer right away. Come on, come. See, you've maybe heard the statement, the Lord will meet your need, not your greed. Well, whenever Jesus come walking up to the fig tree, and the Bible says the time of figs was not yet. And there was nothing on the fig tree, only leaves, and he cursed it. What was that? See, he spoke to the fig tree and he said, never mind, eat from you again. And the tree, the Bible says the tree dried up from the roots and died. Now the time of figs was not yet. Maybe meant that figs wasn't even ripe. But he said he found nothing there on, only leaves. But anyhow, see, faith will cause you to work the works of God. That's what faith does. And the Lord answered him right away, and he said, come. And verse 29, listen to verse 29. You know these things, but listen till it again. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. He walked on the water. Now, that's a miracle. That's a supernatural event. Hallelujah. Peter walked on the water. And you know, he was walking to go to Jesus. And the Lord was there. And the Lord says, come on ahead, Peter. Peter, if you want to walk on the water, when I'm walking on the water, you're very welcome. Come. Come on now. You know, the Lord just answered him. And he just got out of that ship. And he started walking on the water. Now, look. Verse 30, there's a but. He had an immediate response from the Lord. In verse 29, he walked on the water. And you know, when he's walking on the water, I've written this here down, that each step
was a step of faith. You know, but whenever you're walking with the Lord anyway, it's a walk of faith. For by faith we stand. Without faith we sink. And Peter stood on the water by faith, and he walked on the water by faith, and every step he took was a step of faith. But then we read, we see a but coming in here in verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, he was walking on the water. But the Bible says when he saw the wind, how do you see the wind? Well, what it really means is you see the effect of the wind. You can see the effect of a wind if you go outside on a stormy day and you see a tree and it's all blowing over to one side. Or if you see the sea, if you go to the sea, you'll see the effect of the wind. For the waves will be boisterous. And you know, Peter done all right until his natural senses kicked in. See, the natural senses kicked in, and he said to himself, this is very dangerous. I shouldn't be here. You know, the devil wants to tell you you can't walk on the water. He wants to tell you you shouldn't be asking for miracles. He wants to tell you that you can't pray, and that God doesn't want to answer you. He wants to put all them doubts in your mind. And even if he can use the elements to do it, he will do it. And you know, when Peter got out of that ship, he was walking on the water. And I don't know how far he walked, but he walked on the water. I believe that. And the Bible says it. And he walked on the water, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he saw the effects of the wind. He saw the waves. Imagine maybe there was a big wave come up, and maybe just for a split second he couldn't see the Lord because the wave rose up between them. I don't know, maybe it never happened, but he saw, the Bible says, when he saw the wind boisterous, the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, I said that earlier, fear affects your faith. You know, this world's full of fear. I spoke to Lamont, and he had got the two jabs, and then he got the booster, and he wasn't just well after that. His heart was giving him trouble. And I says to him, boy, you got the booster. He says, I did. I says, you shouldn't have, I don't like to say it to you, but you shouldn't have took it. I told him, he shouldn't have took it. Oh, he says, what? He says, if I hadn't have took it, he says, if I got the COVID, I would die. I would die. I says, well, you'll maybe die. You'll maybe die anyway. But it wasn't much faith, was it? But the fear. Another man told me he got the booster, and then he took the COVID after he got the booster. And he said, it was a quite good job I got the booster, for if I hadn't got the booster, I'd have been dead now. He hadn't got it, he'd have been dead now. So the booster kept him alive. See, the faith, the Lord's looking for people to have faith.
Amen.
The Lord's looking for people, if there's need a race, if you need a walk on the water, you can walk on it. Now, I don't know if Peter could swim. But even though if you were a good swimmer and you see a rough sea, it wouldn't matter whether you could swim or not, you'd soon sink to the bottom. And Peter began to sink. And the Lord tells us the reason he began to sink. But thank God he called out to the Lord when he began to sink in verse 30. And it says, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto them, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's verse 30. Why did you doubt? That's what the Lord said to him. The Lord, in other words, said to him, look, if you hadn't have doubted, you wouldn't have started to sink. When he saw the waves, but when he saw the elements, when he heard the wind and saw the waves coming up and the ship was still rocking,
he began to sink, the Bible says, and then he called to the Lord, and the Lord reached out his hand and he touched him. But I want to, I like what Tommy said, that he walked back to the ship with the Lord when the Lord put his hand on him. Peter walked back. The Lord didn't carry him, didn't say, here, get onto my back. No, he didn't. He walked back and he got in the ship. And you know, it says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now the wind ceased as soon as they got into that ship. You see, the devil knew he was bait. The enemy knew he was bait. See, when they got back in the ship, it was practically over. And you know what else? It's not recorded here in Matthew's Gospel, but I'm certain this in the other Gospels. I'm certain that it's probably in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John. But it says when he got into the ship, the wind ceased. And listen to verse 33. I believe this is important. Verse 33 says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, now this is worship the Lord Jesus, of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, truth and worship cannot be separated. If you haven't got real truth, you haven't got true worship. But if you've got real truth, you've got real worship. And these disciples came to the Lord in the ship that very morning and that very night, and the fourth watch of the night. It's 4 o'clock or it's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's maybe 4:30. We know it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, the fourth watch of the night. We know that's the time. And these disciples come, and you know, as soon as Jesus gets his foot on that ship, the wind ceases. It's over. The struggle's over. Now, they come and they worship him. Now, I want you to note that there, they came and they worshipped him. And it says in verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, this here's all directed at the Lord. There's nothing here in verse 33 about the disciples, only that they done this. They that were in the ship. They that were in the ship. The disciples and the people that was in that ship said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And that's the worship. The Lord identified himself. The Lord identified himself to Peter that night or that morning. The Lord identified himself to the disciples. He said, be of good cheer. It's me. It's I. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's not a ghost. It's not another Jesus. It's the same Jesus with flesh and blood and bone. It's the Jesus that was earlier feeding the 5,000. It's that same Jesus that came walking on the water. And you know, when he got in the ship, the Bible says immediately the winds cease. And not only that, I'll just turn it here if I can find it. I haven't been there, but I'll turn to Mark's Gospel, and I'm almost through. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, we have the story. Matthew, Mark. Just if you can turn, bear with me a moment, and we'll just turn to Mark's Gospel, and chapter 6. And we'll read probably I've written down here verse 45, to read verse 45 to down to 51. Verse 45 says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida,
while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And verse 47, and when eve was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now it was Mark that said that, he would have walked on by them. But when they saw him walking upon the seas, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, Mark doesn't mention the fact that Peter done. Now, what he done was courageous. What he done was faith. And the Lord never condemned him one time. You'll never hear the Lord condemn him for doing what he done. The Lord encouraged him. The Lord said, come on ahead. And verse 51 says, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Verse 52 says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to shore. And that's the place where he went over. And when they was come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. That was where he went, and he cast the demons out of the legion, and they went into the swine, and they run down the hill and was killed. And then they prayed him that he would depart. But when he comes back, the people runs and gets the sick and the diseased, and he heals them. And there was an hour, mighty move of God. I just want to read John chapter 6, and there's a gospel that tells us that as soon as Jesus got into the ship, the wind ceased, and then they were at their destination. Practically, almost immediately, they were at their destination. Now, it's John chapter 6, and I've written down 16 here, and that's where I got the distance in John chapter 6. He did a 25 to 34 long done, and verse 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 34 longs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh onto the ship, and they were so afraid. They were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land. Well, they went. It's an hour miracle. You know, you never meet a disciple and tell any disciples that Jesus wasn't a miracle worker. Could you imagine trying to meet Peter or John and any of the disciples and say, no, it didn't really happen. It really happened. And there's there in verses 21, and it says, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I said it was over. I said the struggle was over. When Jesus, what's that wee song they used to sing, or wee cliche used to say, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. smile at the storm. Peter's the man, you know. Imagine one day we'll meet him. We'll meet Peter. And you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, Peter, would you tell me the story about the night you were on the ship and the Lord came walking on the water? Will you tell me that story again? How that you said to the Lord, Lord, if it really is you. You see, sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, the enemy comes to steal away the seed.
Sometimes when the Lord will speak a word directly to you, the enemy wants to come and steal away that word. He wants to say, oh, it wasn't really him, it's your imagination. Peter, you only thought you heard him. But God really spoke to Peter. And you know, God really spoke to you. That's why you're saved tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God really spoke to you. That's why you're in this room tonight. God really spoke to you. That's why you have a prayer life. God really spoke to you. That's why you want to read the Word of God. That's why you've got something in your heart that cries, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. God really spoke to us one day. Hallelujah. We really heard Him calling our name. We really heard Him speaking to us. And we had a cry out and say, Lord. And He said, come. And He was with. You know, when the Lord said come to Peter, I don't believe the Lord was coming out of that water until Peter got on it. He was waiting on Peter. He was waiting on Peter. And Peter got off the ship and he started walking towards the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus walked on the water and he says, Peter says, Lord, if you're walking on the water, I'm going to walk with you. Hallelujah. Lord, if you're doing it, I want to do it. Now, we sing the wee chorus, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like Him. Now the Bible teaches us that we're to be like Jesus. Yeah. Not to be like God. Now Jesus is God, but I don't want to complicate things. But listen, you're not to be like God, or you're not to be worshipped. Yeah. Or you're not to have pride in your heart. The Bible says that Satan said, I will be like the Most High, and I'll ascend up into the highest, and I'll sit on the sides of the north. And he wanted to be worshipped, but God said, no, you're going down to hell. And he cast him out. And the Bible says that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and that was the third of the angels fell when Satan fell. And the Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And he says, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But he said, in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah! Praise His holy name. Oh, He's a miracle-working God, isn't He? Oh, we need to sing something, don't we? You have faith in God. You know, the only thing that made Peter sink was he started to doubt. And the Lord said to him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You were doing all right. Why did you doubt? You were winning the battle, but why did you doubt? You know, the Lord answered Peter. He answered him immediately. He answered him straightway. He said, Peter, come you on. Peter got out and walked on the water. Hallelujah. And when he sank, the Lord caught him. And when the Lord caught him, the Lord didn't have to carry him. He walked back and got up into the ship. You see, the wind saw that what happened and said, not worth my while blowing. It's not worth my while. The devil saw it. The devil said, it's not worth my while. I tell you, the devil has no answer for Jesus. He has no answer. He has no answer for the power of God. You know what else? He has no answer for faith in God. The devil has no answer for faith in God. For by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourself. It's a gift of God. The devil has no answer for that. He has no antidote for faith, the devil. Where there's faith, the devil has to leave. Why does he have to leave? Well, there's faith, the power of God comes in the room. Hallelujah. Where the gospel is, the power of God is. Where the good news is, Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Sardis and Talos. But you wouldn't know them men. Them men was maybe beginning to think, is this ship going to cross or is she going to go down? And then the next thing in the fourth watch of the night, you know, they labored. They toiled all night, them men. They toiled all night. You see, whenever you're doing something, now the Lord told them to get in the ship and go. He told them to go. They weren't out of the will of the Lord. They were in the will of God. They were they were doing what Jesus asked them to do. See the way the enemy made it hard for them. You see, if you're going through a tough time, it's not the Lord making it. It's the enemy. The enemy can give you a tough time. He wants to ruin your time. He wants to spoil your time. He wants to drain you. Keep you under strain. Keep you under pressure. But when Jesus comes, he says, don't you be afraid. He says, you be of good cheer. You know, what was that story that, was it Oral Roberts, Tommy, or was it Jack Cobb? And he was coming down, they called it the elevator or the lift. And the woman said, I've just got bad news and there's no hope. And he said, Lady, be of good cheer. And she said, what did you say? And he said, be of good cheer. And, you know, God wrought a miracle.
Amen.
God wrought a miracle. She was faith. Faith works miracles. Faith makes an ordinary man that he can walk on the water. Faith in God. Faith on obedience to God's word. And faith and true worship. Truly thou art the Son of God. You know, whenever they said that, the devil was even trembling. Devil hated it. You see, the devil has got himself into a fight that he can never win. He's a defeated foe. He may as well throw the towel in, but he's the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he's come down having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And I tell you, whenever we go out of here and they're catching up, all hell is going to get loose then. For the devil knows that the alarm has went and he has pushed the snooze button. It's just a short time. It's going to be over. Oh, may the Lord bless you. I'm sorry. I've went too long. Gary, can we sing something? What are we going to sing? We need to worship the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to sing that wee song. I want you to sing that wee song tonight. And then I'm going to go and sit down. I'm not going to take your time. And if you want to pray, would we want to sing that wee song tonight? And guys, it's maybe a hard one to play. It's God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. There's it up there. Brother Matthew has it. God is so good. Hey, Matthew, is there another verse of that? Is there a couple of verses? God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise his holy name tonight. Bless the Lord. We're going to sing this, and then I'm going to go down there and sit down, and you're going to pray and ask the Lord for something tonight and believe him, and God's going to answer you. You believe he's in this room tonight.
Amen.
The waves of the sea. He said he spreads the heavens. He walketh. He treadeth on the waves of the sea. Like, them waves can go whatever height they want. Not stop him. If he wants to walk on it, he's going to walk on it. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. You sing this tonight in an attitude of prayer and worship.
When you sing it, you believe God.
You know, this is an announcement. I have to make it this announcement tonight. And I'm thanking the Lord for his goodness, because Simon's wife, Sarah, I got a phone call on... I got a phone call, it must have been Tuesday night. It was the 1st of February. At 12 o'clock, to say that I'm now a grandfather again. And I'm a grandfather of twin girls.
Amen.
Twins. Two little girls. And it's just, they took it after their granny cured, because they mustn't have any patience, because they came practically 8 weeks too soon, premature, and they're just over 3 pound weight each of them, and they weren't due to come to March. And you know, they're down in the hospital, and I think Sister Ruth works in that Antrim hospital, and I'm not sure, but they're in the intensive care there, and they're in the intubator. But they said they were drinking 2 ounces of milk, and they were doing well, and they might have to stay there for a month, and if they get room for them, they'll move them to Craigavon. And Sarah got home today, and I'm thankful to the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
And I trust the Lord will see them wee children. You know, our times are in his hands, and he's the one, the psalmist said, he's the one that gave me strength whenever I was in my mother's womb. And whenever he knew all my numbers, he knew every part of me. Even before I was put together. And you know, God done the DNA, and he didn't only do the DNA, he put in the set of instructions in the DNA of how were to be manufactured and put together, and this part goes here, and that part goes there, and that other part goes somewhere else, and it's all there. But man, God's trying to change the genes, and he's trying to inject something into you that's from the underworld, that's from hell, and he's trying to make you live forever, and he can't do it. But Jesus, Peter, this man Peter, and if the Lord spares us, we're going to look at that. He said, Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Nobody else. God's alive tonight.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise his holy name. He's so good to me. Praise his name. I'm going to sing it. Sure, it's the way I quote it tonight. It's more. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Let us sing it. Let us sing it. I'm going to sit down. You sing it. I'm sorry, I took your time. God bless you.